Suddenly, the message in his graffiti took on a new meaning. It was no longer the wise observation of a sympathetic poet. It had been a cry of pain. The news was received with disbelief across the city. "But he was always smiling," was the comment most often heard. "He was such a popular man. He had so many friends." Carla Ferrara, a musician, saw it another way. In Venice, loneliness is harder to notice. It's hidden, because when you leave the house, you have to walk. Everybody walks in Venice, so you see 20 people you know, and you have to say hello. But no matter how many people you greet, you can still feel lonely inside. That's the problem of a small city. You are surrounded by people talking to you and saying hello. In a big city, you don't find yourself talking to nearly so many people. The loneliness is more obvious. The disbelief was felt most deeply by Stephanie's neighbors in Campo San Giacomo dell'Orio. "None of us knew he was lonely," said Paolo Lazzarin, the owner of Trattoria al Ponte, on the ground floor of Stephanie's building. "He came in 3 times a day. We felt he was part of the family. He'd lost a little weight in the last few months, but he told us he was on a diet. We didn't know he needed help." The women who ran the restaurant, La Zucca, on the opposite side of the bridge in front of Stephanie's house, were also taken by surprise. "We'd see him walking past with his plastic shopping bags," said Rosanna Gasparini. "He'd drop in at least once a day, give us kisses, and say, 'Have you heard the latest?' He was looking a little worn out lately, but we never would have imagined." The baker, Luciano Favero, said, "He was always surrounded by lots of people, but maybe he had few real friends. He seemed pensive recently." Saturday night, the night before he died, Stephanie had gone to Mestre for the opening of an exhibition by the painter Nino Mimo, an old friend. "He arrived early," Mimo said, "and he seemed to be in a particularly good mood. He liked the show and even promised me he was going to write a favorable review of it. A lot of his friends were there, writers, painters, and academics, and he talked to everybody. I did notice one thing that was unusual, though. He stayed till the very end. That wasn't like him. He would usually leave a gathering like that before it was over. Afterward, he joined a group of us for dinner, and then we all came back to Venice. Before we parted at Piazzale Roma, he opened his shopping bag and showed us a roast chicken, already prepared. It was for his Sunday dinner. He said he probably wouldn't leave the house all day. He had a lot of work to do." On Sunday afternoon, a student friend of Stephanie's, Elena De Maria, waited for him at the Trattoria al Ponte. He had said he would advise her on her thesis, but when he did not show up for their 2 o'clock meeting, she phoned him and got no answer. She kept trying all afternoon. Finally, around 9 o'clock, she called the fire department. While the fireman went up to his apartment, she waited downstairs. Mario had been a family friend for many years, but in all that time, he had never invited her up to his apartment. Probably, she said, because it was a mess. An ambulance boat came 10 minutes later, and the medics went up with a stretcher. When they came back down with the stretcher but without Mario, she said, "I knew he was dead." Then the firemen brought his body down in a sack. They weren't carrying him. They were dragging him down the stairs. Elena De Maria met me at El Ponte to talk about Mario. "Sunday is the one day of the week Mario would not have been missed so quickly," she said. "He liked to stay home all day in his underwear. On any other day of the week, friends would begin to worry about him after a few hours if they hadn't heard from him. The baker would have missed him. The people at El Ponte would have missed him. Most people would be dead for a week before friends would notice. Mario thought he was alone, but he wasn't."